This is a really important podcast, Kathy. Hopeless, not truthless. And Garcelle...
Are you talking to me now?
Yes, you're laughing at...
I'm laughing because she's funny. It's not about your podcast. Okay, the name is not amazing, but they do good work.
They do amazing work. Hey guys, it's Sarah.
And Narelle.
You're listening to Hopeless, Not Truthless.
The truthful podcast about hopeless people. Okay, Sarah, I have a little bit of a Narelle problem.
Oh, my favorite kinds.
Yeah. Yeah, it's I did it to myself. Oh, that shit. Would be the Narelle part.
Uh-huh.
It's totally self-inflicted. So it's a real pickle. Back when I was still doing my cabinet making, like my woodworking career, and I was working in the shop in North Vancouver, I was really, really close friends with one of the guys who, he was a drafter in the shop.
Oh, I think I remember this guy. Yes.
Probably. This is one of those friendships, and probably everybody has been there at some point in their life where, like, it's forged in fire. Like, we were in the depths of hell together. This was the worst place to work. We were in the, like, I was running things on the floor. He was running things behind the scenes, and it was a fucking mess. The boss, the owner, didn't know what he was doing. Like, it was horrific. And so those friendships, like, those bonds... can last a lifetime.
Total trauma bonding. And they do.
Exactly. Exactly. I know you've got friends like that from your previous work experience. So we've kept in contact all this time. Like, that was a couple years ago. And I adore him. He's just so funny. He's so fun. We have a few interests that, you know, we relate on. And Well, it's just weird. It's a this is why it's a Narelle problem. It's a weird problem. It's a weird situation I've kind of forced myself into here. Okay, so I was asking him, this was probably, I don't know, 6 months ago, say. I was asking him for, like, do you have any suggestions or ideas of, like, shows I could watch on Netflix? Like, any tips or, like, what are you into? And he suggested Star Trek.
Oh, sorry.
And I was what? The show Star Trek.
You're not a Trekkie now, are you? Is this the problem? Okay. Okay, good.
No, but the problem is that I told him I was.
No. What?
And truthfully, I did start watching the show. I did try watching the show, and it's not bad. Like, I do, I enjoy it. I see the enjoyment aspect.
Sure.
But
are we talking, like, Star Trek Next Gen? Are we talking which one here?
I did Next Generation. Okay. I started Luke Picard. Oh my God, I don't even know if I'm getting that right. Anyways, I started with the one that I knew the most. And I do enjoy aspects of it, but I just didn't get hooked on it the way that I want to get hooked on a show. So anyways.
Right.
You know me. I don't like to hurt people's feelings.
Narelle.
Ever. So, like, every now and then he checks in and he's like, oh, so, like, what are you thinking? What episode are you at? What season are you at? But listen, like, we don't live in the same vicinity at all anymore. Like, I moved away from Vancouver, so I was like, no harm, no foul. He's never going to find out. What's a harmless little lie? I'm just going to, you know, so I would Google things like, what happens season two, Next Generation?
This and I'm is like, so much effort to keep up this little white lie.
Well, listen, it's all blown up in my face. He sent me a message.
Is he going to take you to a Star Trek convention or what?
No, he sent me a message the other day and he was like, oh, I'm going to be taking a ride out there in June because he has like a motorcycle. And he's like, I'm going to be taking a ride out there in June. We can like go for coffee and like exchange Star Trek. Like, I'll test you on your trivia.
No.
What do I do? So what do I do?
The next 2 months or the next month, you're just going to be binging Star Trek? Is this what you're telling us?
Yeah, I guess. But like, you told me this a week ago and I still haven't even watched another episode. Oh, I don't know if I have it in me.
Okay. I think you need to just say, listen, I got to episode whatever
10. And I'm trying. It's just not for me.
Yeah, I know. Telling the truth, that would probably get me out of a lot of Narelle issues, but I struggle with that.
Oh my God, Narelle.
It really became another thing that we could bond over, you know? And now I feel like it's just going to be a slap across the face.
Okay, like how often do you guys actually talk about Star Trek together?
Every single time we talk.
Oh, dude.
No. I know. I do this, though. I do it.
You're a good person. I would never do that, ever.
You know what I'm probably going to do?
Avoid him when he comes to town.
Yeah, either that or dedicate my entire life between now and then to watching Star Trek and making myself into a Trekkie.
Oh my God. Narelle.
Even though I don't enjoy the show yet. Maybe I will. Maybe I'm just not giving it enough of a chance.
Well, how many episodes in are you?
Well, I had it on in the background for a while, so honest to God, I don't even know. So.
Oh, a background show. Background shows can only be shows that you've watched before. Just saying.
Yeah, like a million times. The Office is my favorite background show.
Totally.
I can't just pull up my phone and Google it the way that I do during our... Man, you said I'm a good person. I'm actually a bad person. Who does that? Anyways.
It's very extensive.
It is. Yeah, it's not the first time I've been down this road either.
Jesus. I'd be like, dude, weirdo. It sucks. Okay, bye.
I could have done that the first time, but I didn't. So I'll keep you guys posted. I'm going to come back next week and have a whole bunch of Star Trek deets for all of you. You're excited, aren't you?
We're here for Summer House.
I know. I'm sorry. This is totally unrelated, you guys. I just had to tell.
It's this morning, so funny.
Like, fuck. Anyways, Summer House. Woo! This was a good episode.
Oh my gosh. This was intense, this episode.
Let's get into it.
Let's do it.
Summer House, Season 8, Episode 12, Rocking the Boat. So starting things off here, I probably would have been much more okay with the explanation that Carl gave at the beginning of this episode. You know what I mean? Like where he actually admitted to feeling as if, you know, like I got in my own way. I was struggling, to be honest with you, because I didn't want to hurt your feelings. Like he's still breadcrumbing her. And rather than it being a gentle or like a soft way for him to get his point across, which he says is his intention, now Lindsay is left feeling like, why the fuck do you keep bringing this up?
Exactly. I feel like Lindsay isn't really understanding what Carl is saying. And of course, that's because Carl is beating around the bush. Okay? He's trying to soften the blow. I do feel like there is a level of that is true when he says that. Like he does want to soften the blow for her. And I don't blame him for that. But he's not being forthright at all with his feelings or the conversation that went down with him and his parents.
No. And I think he's beating around the bush and he's kind of slowly getting closer to the center of the bush. Mm-hmm. But the way that he keeps saying that his main drive here for doing it is saving Lindsay's feelings, like keeping himself from hurting her, I don't buy that completely. That's part of it. Mm-hmm. But I just think that's also who he is as a person. And anything to do with confrontation, he's very fearful of it.
Totally. And as someone, I myself hate confrontation, absolutely hate it. I've worked on it over the years. But with my partner, I could never be with someone I couldn't be truly 100% myself with. That's sad. And I still don't, I'm struggling because, like you said, at the beginning of this episode, I was like, okay, I can kind of see where Carl is coming from here a little bit. I can appreciate at least what he's trying to say.
Yes, but then he like runs away to Kyle a little bit later on and is just way more truthful with Kyle. Again, it sees little breadcrumbs.
Yes, that is the conversation he should have had with Lindsay.
Yeah. But this was the first conversation where he actually got like a little bit closer. Mm-hmm. And it was like, this is where you should have started off. This is where you should have started the entire thing off because now you're just pissing her off.
Yeah, yes, exactly.
We dealt with this. Why are you bringing it up again?
What I struggle with, Nar, is it a fear-based thing like we thought in the beginning? Is he actually that scared of Lindsay? Or is he just scared of confrontation? Or both?
That's the thing for me. I think it is both. I think he's trying to play it off as if it's Lindsay, though, to save face. Yep. And I think a much bigger portion of it than he ever wants to admit to anybody, let alone to himself, is actually just who he is as a person. He is terrified of, much like myself, actually, terrified
of... Telling somebody you don't want to watch Star Trek.
Holy shit. Maybe that was the perfect opener for this because I am Carl Radke. Oh my God.
Except you're nice. You're nice about it. And this isn't your fiance.
In a close relationship, I'm probably more of a Lindsay. Yeah. Like direct.
Yeah.
And I lay it on the line. But when it's like a friend or an acquaintance... Yeah, then I'm a Carl. Fuck my life. Anyways.
You know what? I'm the same, honestly.
Yeah, you are. I would say that, yeah.
You're kind of weird, hey? But this is the whole point. Carl is treating Lindsay more like an acquaintance and not a life partner. And Lindsay is left like, excuse me, like, aren't you my life partner? What's going on? Why are you acting like this, Carl? Why do you keep bringing it up, Carl? Why are you being so cheesy and offering me support? Like, I really don't understand this, Carl.
Totally. So after that, we found out that Jesse felt something on his nut, I think is how he put it.
That is so scary.
And he isn't telling anyone about it. And he's carrying that around with him. And I think that that totally explains why, like, his state of mind and why he was feeling so vulnerable to what Sierra said in the moment as well. Like, that's kind of just kicking him when he was down. He does open up to West later on in the episode, and he's totally there for him in the moment, like West was. And I was so flippin' happy. They had the most amazing moment together that we don't get to see men have very often. I really appreciated the way that it was, like, so open and so emotionally vulnerable, and that West didn't turn away from it. Like, he leaned into it.
He did. He was so supportive, and he validated his fears. It was a really touching moment. And like you said, we rarely see genuine emotion like this from men on Bravo, particularly. We're more used to, like, the anger, like the Brocks, the Carls, the Kyles, you know? So this was really heartfelt. And it just proves more and more why we need more men like this on Bravo.
Yes, that's such a good point. They're a really good addition, I'm going to say.
The best I've ever seen,
the best so far. Absolutely.
Okay, just a quick question. Have you ever regurgitated your food and spat it back onto your plate at dinner?
No. Well, I can't say that, actually. Have no idea. I'm sure there's probably at some point in my life I've spit something out, but it was never addressed. Why did she do that?
What is happening? I'm like, Amanda. She's like, oh. Kyle's like, I love lobster. Lobster's delicious. It's so good. She's like, bleh, bleh, bleh. Coughed it up.
The only way that that would make sense is if she's allergic to lobster and she didn't realize it was lobster. And then hearing someone be like, oh, this lobster is delicious. She's like, oh, fuck. And she spat it up.
Or she's a seagull. I have no idea.
I'm like, what are you doing? Yeah.
Just like right there. That. But I kind of love her for it, you know?
So after that awkward dinner, and by awkward, I mean the point where Lindsay and Carl come back after their conversation and they sit down and, like, everybody wants to know what just happened, but obviously they don't really want to talk about it as a group.
The silence was deafening.
Lindsay does get a moment to debrief the other ladies about what her and Carl had discussed before the astrologer gets there.
Yeah.
Paige's fucking eyeballs. When she hears that Lou didn't or would not marry her and Carl, I was like, that's my face. That's Sarah's face. That's exactly what we would have done in that moment.
Oh, I love Paige so much. So, 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 so much.
I do have a question for you.
Oh, okay.
Do you think Lindsay has a point about not telling your parents about all of the fights that you have with your partner?
Ooh.
As a married woman, what are your thoughts?
As a married woman. Now, I have to say that I am very close with my mom. She knows almost everything about my life. I do not tell her about all of my fights with my husband because of this exact reason. And I do think it's natural and normal for people to listen to a person who's emotional. Like Carl's going over there saying, you know, this woman is questioning my sobriety. It's volatile. Any mother, any person, any friend is going to be like, well, dude, you have to get out of this. You have to leave this situation. You hold on as a listener to those feelings. It's really hard to come back from it. And there are certain things, like if it was a major fight, I probably would open up. But little petty things, I don't. Because those little things grate on people a lot as well. So, you know, it's a healthy balance, I think. What about you, Nar?
That's exactly the same for me. The only thing I have to add on to that is, you know, for me, when how do I put this? You know, I'm getting ready to leave a relationship when I start telling you everything that's wrong in it.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, I will hold back because I don't want my friends to turn against the terrible men that I've dated until I'm ready to leave the relationship.
Yeah.
I do that with my mom as well. A, I don't want her to worry, but also I don't, like, I want her to have a good relationship with the men in my life, you know?
Exactly.
I don't, sometimes I'm just venting and you're only ever getting my perspective. Like, you're not getting his perspective as well. And that's not really fair in an argument. It's not fair on Lindsay that Carl's parents are only getting his perspective. So, like, I do keep that in mind, but that's always a big warning sign. And I think that's when I start to realize I'm checking out as well, when I start just airing out all my dirty laundry. I'm like, oh, fuck, I'm done. I'm done.
Oh, that's a good tell. That's good to know for you.
Yeah. So after that, the astrologer arrives. Is it astrologer or astrologist?
I think the tarot card reader.
Oh, okay. So it's neither. Perfect. The tarot card reader arrives. Do you think she studied up on the group?
Oh, good.
And, like,
God,
on the cast? Because she was spot on.
Oh, with, like, she almost was all of them. Very spot on. Like, I think she's actually a friend of the group. I don't know.
Well, she's a friend of one of them, I think.
Gabby, right? So
yeah.
I will say, at Dry Grad, we had a tarot card reader or a psychic or something there. And I remember that reading and being like, whoa, that person was so spot on. Yeah, to this day, it has stuck with me. And I've never seen one since because it kind of freaks me out. Like, there's things I don't want to know, but I would like to know, you know?
I never did the Dry Grad one.
You didn't?
I was too freaked out.
Yeah.
I've never had a reading done at all.
Yeah, I don't think I could do it now. It's too freaky.
I would totally do it now.
Is that funny? We've switched.
It's kind of funny.
Yeah, I am just so excited that Paige is getting engaged, guys.
Oh, I know. This part was so funny. And I loved that she ran and immediately called Craig to let him know as well.
Same. That was the best. And so something we would do. Like,
I know.
I just thought, if this was her question, it really proves that she does want to marry Craig. Okay. If he moves to New York, though.
Yeah. Her response to that killed me when she was like, is he going to move to New York? And the woman said yes. And she was like, good, as he should. It's perfect.
She's so perfect. I love her.
So after that, Carl and Kyle meet up in the backyard for a cigar. What did Carl mean when he said, I'm so fucked?
Because he knew. He's known all along. And I think he thinks his little breadcrumbs are enough to make Lindsay blow up at him and then instigate a breakup, a dissolve of the relationship. But it's not working. So he keeps baiting her into these fights. That's what it seems like.
That's probably exactly what he's doing. Trying to bait her into ending the relationship herself. It was just the way he was like, I'm so fucked. I was waiting for an explanation from him. Like, I don't want to go through with this, or I'm not ready, or whatever. And I'm just like, fucking come out with it. What do you mean? What are
he's
you saying?
He's just so overwhelmed, Narelle. He's so overwhelmed. How many times did he say that this episode? And he is. I can tell he's overwhelmed because he knows what he needs to do, but he's not doing it. So do it, Carl. Then you'll be less overwhelmed.
That's literally how it works. You deal with the things that are overwhelming you and you become less overwhelmed. You're just whelmed. And Kyle said he's purposely not voiced any of his concerns, which is a real shitty place to be as a friend.
Yeah.
I think we've all been there when your partner or a sibling is in a relationship that you might have some thoughts on, but it's like, it's not really your place to say that to them. So you just have to watch them go through something. And it's fucking rough. Carl's a bit of a coward when it comes to Kyle as well. He's being cowardly all over the place.
Yeah. And it does make sense why he used alcohol to kind of be probably the Carl he wants to be, you know?
That's an interesting and probably accurate point.
Yeah.
People who deal with like high levels of anxiety or, you know, any kind of depression or self-doubt.
Yes.
Struggle with addiction sometimes because of that fact. Like, it gets rid of those feelings and you're just free to be yourself. So,
yes, no inhibitions, right? What did you think about Carl relating his brother's overdose? I believe that's how he passed, you know, to how, like, his current situation, and his mom has concerns that the same thing could happen to Carl.
I mean, if you go through that, if your family goes through that, or you have a son or a brother who goes through that, you can't not think about that for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
If you have those tendencies inside of yourself, I'm pretty sure that's why they tell you not to get into a serious relationship during recovery for, I think, at least a year. And I could be wrong. I could be wrong, but I have a feeling Lindsay and Carl started dating before that time was up. I remember having that thought. Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think he was far enough in his recovery phase to start dating.
Isn't. Yeah.
No.
Like, the dude needs to find himself. And I think Carl's mom totally has legitimate concerns.
Yeah. And I mean, at the end of the day, he made the right choice.
Yes, he
Neither
did.
Neither you or I would ever refute that. It's just how he's going about it. So, like, I'm so happy they're not together. I think they're wrong for each other. And I think they're both going to be a lot happier with somebody else. Yeah, I just wish that he could have just ended it at this point.
Yes.
And not strung her along out of fear. But
I'm with you, girl. I'm with you.
Because after all of this, after the, like, I'm so fucked, he crawls into bed and with her and just, like, gives her a kiss on the forehead. Like, everything's fine.
I cannot imagine my partner feeling this way and then behaving so differently toward me.
Yeah.
How is Lindsay really supposed to know? And then I think he gets like a little burst of confidence, but then like shies away and like breadcrumbs her some more. So I feel really bad actually for both of them in this moment because it is so conflicting. Poor Lindsay. She's about to get her heart broken, doesn't know it. Carl knows it, but can't do it. Because he suffers from such lack of self-esteem, obviously.
Yeah, it's sad all around. So the next morning, everybody meets up in the kitchen as Carl he's coming home from a meeting with a company that focuses on non-alcoholic bevvies. They all head out to the pool. In this moment, Sierra apologizes to Jesse by saying that her delivery of the word sucked. And I have thought about it a bit this week, having dealt with a lot of fuckboys myself in my time.
Right.
I can't honestly blame her for her thoughts or her feelings here.
Yeah.
She just didn't need to say it like that.
That's,
you know what I mean?
That's the thing. And I think Kyle actually said how I feel. Like, I mean, she's not wrong, but you don't say that to somebody, you know?
Yeah.
I'm kind of like, yeah.
To her credit, that is exactly how she apologized. Like, she didn't go back on her, I didn't mean it that way. She was kind of like, well, I meant it, but I shouldn't have said it that way. Sorry. So then they kiss.
Oh, the kiss. The kiss.
They literally kiss and make up. And Sierra makes the joke of having a cool boyfriend.
Uh-huh.
And fucking no chill Danielle.
Oh, geez.
Is like, boyfriend? Did what? You say boyfriend? What? Hold up. Oh, my God. Did you just say boyfriend?
One? Can I get one? Where? How?
Could you be more embarrassing? How did you do it? How did you get one?
Yeah.
Can you give me the details?
She kills me, this girl. And I knew as soon as they stepped on that boat, Danielle was eyeing up that boat driver. And I'm like, oh, she's going to be all over this guy. And sure as shit, there she was later on in the episode, standing right beside him driving the boat. I'm like, I'm on to you, girl.
What was the show we were making fun of last week? Oh. Hold on, let me think about this for a second. Who were the guys driving the boat last week in one of the episodes? Everyone was laughing about.
Was it?
Oh, on VPR. On VPR, when they're all driving across on that ferry thing and like Brock's like steering the boat and everyone's laughing. Danielle's like same energy. Like, same. But it's just to get next to the captain.
Yes. Yes. Danielle kind of has Jackie energy from New Jersey too.
Oh, so basically, we're just saying Danielle has the energy of every person we don't like in Bravo.
Is it? Is funny. That what we're saying? Yes, it is.
That's a funny coincidence. So then Carl and Lindsay meet up in the kitchen a real fun conversation. This was just a real great time for everybody, for them, for us watching. And I need you to buckle up, Sarah, because I got a real weird analogy to give to you here. Oh,
I love your weird analogies. Okay.
Yeah, well, this one's quite strange. Okay, so Carl and Lindsay remind me a lot of the relationship, and this is going to sound offensive, I don't mean it that way, between an owner and a hyper-emotional or reactive dog.
Okay.
You know? So
I don't know who is. Oh, obviously Lindsay's the hyper-reactive dog.
Yes,
okay.
Lindsay's the hyper-reactive dog.
And Carl is a bad dog owner.
Exactly. So specifically, I used to watch the show The Dog Whisperer a lot, like years ago.
Yeah.
With Cesar.
Cesar Millan.
Everybody always blames the dog when a fight breaks out and like the dog goes crazy. But Cesar would get in there and he would point out that the owner was tipping the dog off that something really bad and scary was coming down the street by like tightening his hold on the dog's leash. Mm. And so then the dog would become reactive and emotional. And this is the way that Carl is approaching his conversations with Lindsay with that same energy, the way you would like tighten your grip on the leash of a reactive pit bull, say. Yeah. He's tipping her off that there's something to be upset about. And people aren't dogs. Like, Lindsay is fucking smarter than a dog.
Smarter than Carl, too, by the way.
Yes, exactly. She is. This behavior from him is so passive aggressive.
Yes.
And to someone like Lindsay, who is like so matter of fact and truthful in all of her interactions with people, it's probably maddening. And I think it really, it's creating tension where there doesn't need to be tension. So like he thinks he's trying to express himself to her, but he's actually just like instigating a fight before, like, she's not even able to react in the moment. She just already knows something's wrong because of the way that Carl approaches
it. Yes, that is a really good fucking analogy, because you're right. Like, he's sitting her down like, I don't want you to be mad. I don't want to upset you. I'm here to support you. All of this stuff. And she's like, what? Just like, can you just be straight up with me? Like, because I have no idea what's going on here.
And then also the way he's like, can you listen for a second?
Ooh.
Okay, but Sarah, can you listen for a second? Sarah, can you listen for just a second?
I am triggered. And he knows that's going to trigger her. And I think
that's the thing.
That is. Okay, so like the issue with this conversation is that Carl knew, like clearly knew, he wanted to go back to Loverboy. And I think from the moment Kyle presented it to him, he's like, sweet. It's a safe job. Mm-hmm. I know the people. I know the product. I can do the thing. And I don't blame Carl for that. I understand. We all go back to the toxic ex once in a while. Do whatever you need to do. But just say it, Carl.
Just say it, Carl.
Just say it, Carl.
That's got to be the name of the episode for sure.
I think so, yeah.
But I do think that comment that Lindsay made too about like, it's like comfortable, you know, like it's like going back to your ex. Uh-huh. That was kind of a dig.
Yeah.
Like that was something I would say if I was annoyed by somebody maybe.
Yeah.
But to put it into perspective as well, I don't know if this was a deleted scene, but they showed it on the after show 2 weeks prior to this during the alien party. When Lindsay and Carl were having that slightly drunk, on Lindsay's behalf, conversation about Carl going back to Loverboy. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I missed it or if this was a deleted scene, but Carl said, I think I need to take a break from it. Like, I don't think I'm ready to go back. Like, I'm just not ready to be at Loverboy.
What? Excuse me?
2 weeks prior to this.
Oh, my God. Okay. Because, honestly, I think she's justified even without knowing that information. I thought, absolutely. Here, and Narelle, I will say this. Narelle has listened to me complain and be traumatized, basically, from an old job. It really actually did traumatize me. And, oh, she listened to me. And then I'm like, oh, hey, guess what? I'm going back. And she was so supportive of it. But I completely understand the concerns. Like, is the same thing going to happen? Have you really grown that much? X, Y, Z, all of these things. So Lindsay, in my opinion, is allowed to ask all of the fucking questions. Because she's like, if you do this, I'm not listening to you again when you get traumatized.
And I think that that is like a supportive thing, you know? Like, first of all, I trust your decision-making abilities, mm-hmm. maybe in a way that Lindsay doesn't trust Carl's. And good like, point. So from that perspective, I can see Carl's frustration that she's not being positive enough.
That's true.
I do think I can see where both of them are coming from.
Mm-hmm.
Lindsay has a right to be curious of Carl's motivation, even if I didn't know that it was only 2 weeks ago that he had made those comments to her, even if it was just him saying, you know, last year or whatever, when he was getting out of Loverboy, this was the worst 4 years of my life. But now knowing that he reiterated that to her 2 weeks ago, fucking hell, yes, she has the right to be curious. Are you kidding?
Oh my God. Like, what's changed in 2 weeks, Carl? Is it desperation? Yeah. Is this because he knows he's going to leave her and needs a job? Because she ain't going to support him anymore? Like, I don't know.
I think it's just a case of this man is not driven professionally, and that's fine. I don't judge anybody for that. But he has talked a bunch of smack about Loverboy and about Kyle to get out of that position professionally. And now that it's being offered to him again and he doesn't really know what else to do, he wants to get back into it. And the only way to do that is to, like, explain away the fact that, you know, he didn't like Loverboy or Kyle and there was all these issues with them working together. And now all of a sudden, when somebody like Lindsay is like, are you sure that's what you want to do?
Mm-hmm.
He's getting super defensive about it.
I think in his mind, he's like, look, I'm getting a job. It's fallen right in my lap. I think he even said that. Or it's right in front of my face. So I'm going to take it. But he's not saying that really. Again, just like the conversation he had with his parents, he's beating around the bush.
Yeah.
And it's so hard to watch. Like, Carl, you know you're going to do it. And he's playing it off to us like he's trying to be respectful and bring Lindsay in on this conversation and this decision.
Give it some thought and really think this through. When you can tell he's already decided to do it.
Exactly. It's just like he's decided he's going to leave her. And that's why it's annoying.
Yes. Yes. The little comment that he made too, like, well, do you have anything like this? Like an opportunity like this?
Low blow, bitch.
It's just so insecure in a moment like this.
Yeah.
Like he was just baiting her. He absolutely was. And it's a little bit mother-son vibes to me too. The way that he approaches it, like the way he went into telling her about the opportunity, it's like he was asking for permission. Also, the way that she asks her questions about it, the way they get upset each other, it's very mother-son, less partner or equal relationship.
Ooh, that's so true. I've never thought of it like that, but it is. It's a hard watch. These two are just so not compatible. And I think as the lady said earlier or later, I don't know when they say it, the males have such fragile egos. And holy shit, not a truer statement could be said.
They do.
Because
I know.
It's so unfair. We're all like women are pegged as being dramatic and fragile. And in all reality, more men that I know are triggered, especially when it comes to career and money and finances. They are so fragile. And we're the ones who are like, it's fine, dear. It's fine.
I have to say, like, I've worked in a very female-centric career where I was working in, like, administration in hospital. Like,
oh, yeah.
I don't want to say that's more female-centric, but, you know.
Administration is because misogyny.
And then I've also worked in the trades as a cabinet maker, which is definitely way more male dominated. And I can 1,000% confidently say the amount of gossip and like people getting their little feelings hurt in a professional setting, they were men. Okay, 100%. The way men bitch about each other behind their backs, the way men find a problem with every little thing, the way men are like obsessed with gossip.
Oh,
men.
And their outbursts are irrational and they do it and they get away with it. We both worked where I worked for 15 years, right? So, you know, like, of course, where I worked, definitely more females, but we had to interact with a whole lot of males, baby. And especially back in those days, it was like two different worlds, and those dudes lived for the gossip, I tell ya.
Yeah, I don't know how we ended up with the reputation of being the sex that gossips the most.
Yeah, I know, because it isn't true.
That rumor was definitely started by a man and told to another man, and then all the men just talked about it because women... Yeah, oh, we take it a lot more on the chin, I think.
We have to. Do. We have to. Yeah, it's so fucked up. So I love that statement. And this is exactly proving the point. Look at how fragile Carl is. She's not even really saying anything threatening or aggressive or opinionated. She's just like, oh, okay. Is that good for you? And he's like, oh, now you're getting defensive. This is impossible to talk to you. It's impossible, Lindsay.
And it Ooh. Is because, going back to the dog analogy, he's walked into this situation knowing she's going to be mad. And so he started off talking to her in that way. Yes. So he got her back up and she was defensive the whole time. And then he called her out for it. And that is very instigative behavior within a relationship. Like, they need training, but also counseling.
Yes, yes. Like, to me, it really just felt like Lindsay was trying to look out for Carl emotionally, and Carl doesn't recognize it as that. He sees it as threatening, I think, and demasculine. I can't say that word. Demasculine. Is that a word?
What is the word?
What is?
Demasculate. I don't know if that's a word.
I don't
know.
What
is the word? I'm going to Google it.
Okay. Because I've tried to say it 3 weeks in a row. And wow. Yeah.
You're really about that word.
I'm really all about that word.
Emasculate.
Oh my God.
Emasculate. To deprive a man of his male role or identity. Yep. I mean, you were close.
I was going to emasculate him.
I think that's why it threw us too. I'm like, it sounds right, but wrong at the same time.
I swear I'm not that dumb, guys, but I really no. am. I just sound dumb. Okay.
Like, everything Fuck. We say is just like really dumb. Okay. But we're yeah. not actually dumb. So they both immediately after this go out to talk to everybody else.
Love it.
Like, in the same area, but just separate.
Yeah. Yeah. It was so awkward.
They both must have known, like, oh, the guys over there talking about me and the girls over there talking about me.
Yeah. And I love that all these girls are rallying around Lindsay like this. I'm like, this is how it should be done. This is the Spice Girls moment.
This was the Spice Girls moment that we deserved on fucking VPR, you guys. Yep. The way the women are rallying around Lindsay, I really appreciate that. What did you think about Kyle saying it looked like Lindsay was just closing doors and then getting mad at Carl for it?
Yeah, I'm not going to take any fucking advice from Kyle considering his the state of his marriage, okay? And that mullet. So,
well, the mullet's gone now. You'll be happy to know.
Yeah, but I saw a small little shell in this episode that I didn't need to see. So that makes up for anything.
we're going to get to the shell.
No, I think Kyle's just Team Carl. He's hated Lindsay from day one, and he wants Carl on his team to sell his product. He was a businessman in this instance to me.
If we compare his marriage to Carl and Lindsay's relationship, Kyle has way more in common with Lindsay than he does with Carl in terms of motivation and like professional drive. Yeah. And he's sitting here telling Carl that Lindsay is shutting doors in his face while he's actually gearing up to do the exact same thing to Amanda later on in the episode.
Holy shit. So you know? Good point. And it is funny because Kyle was Lindsay 2 years ago or whenever that was when he fired Carl. You don't work hard enough. You're a piece of shit. Are you high? Like, yeah.
Oh, my God.
He was Lindsay. So Carl obviously is that person who is just like a yes person in relationships. Mm. And so he surrounds himself with big personalities like the Kyles and the Lindsays. And they totally take advantage of his nature. So it does say to me that Carl really is weak, you know, just a weak person with no backbone. But I do also think he's good-natured, and I don't think he's evil. I think he's just very weak.
I think that's probably a pretty good estimation all around. I also really appreciate the way that Amanda is supporting both Carl and Lindsay in her conversations with them. And I think she's doing it in such a respectful way. I love that. Like, I think that's how you be friends with a couple.
Yes. Like, she understands. She's coming from the work relationship. She saw firsthand what Carl kind of went through.
Yes.
From
yes.
both perspectives. So I agree. And you know who else I totally aligned with in this moment? Jesse Solomon.
Oh, yeah. The Switzerland. I was like, yeah. I feel you. Yeah. I'm the same.
Because he doesn't blindly support Carl, like Carl's asking Lindsay to do, but he thinks it's totally fair Lindsay's asking these questions. So I really appreciated Jesse. He sees it from both sides, again, showing that emotional intelligence he has.
Yep. He is growing on me from my first idea that he was just a fuckboy.
Yeah.
So they head out on the boat after this, which is when Kyle loses his shorts. I'm going to assume it was semi on purpose. I don't know why. I just, right?
It felt like that a little bit.
Yeah.
He has such a short fuse.
Short. I did not know where you were. I was like, short what? Oh my God, Sarah.
Such a sorry.
So he covers himself up with a shell.
Uh-huh.
And Sarah sent me pictures of this, actually, before I'd actually watched the episode.
Yeah.
Was not prepared whatsoever. Also not prepared for that little flash of Amanda taking a fucking shot out of the shell afterwards.
Ew, I never caught that. Oh. That ass was pasty. So pasty. Yeah, it was.
Very much was. Thank God Sarah had her spare shorts to lend to him. And thank God they fit him perfectly.
That is wild to me. Like, we're talking about a model.
A model.
Uh-huh. Just a
Kyle's petite little man.
Yeah, I mean, it's very convenient because I do think he's also worn Amanda shorts in the past, so he's just he's ready to go at all times.
And we also got a conversation between Paige and West on the boat. And Paige is like in there to get the details,
slightly threaten him, you know.
He might not have been entirely honest in this conversation.
Because he did frame it like, I haven't even talked to Sierra about this yet, which I totally appreciated.
Yeah, I don't have any qualms with him doing or saying this and the way he handled the situation. I appreciate it. I can't really fault him. I think, though, if I was in Sierra's shoes, even though they hadn't had the conversation, like if I found out he was sleeping with other women, I would be pissed. I would be, to be honest.
I would
conversation
be pissed
or not.
As well. And I don't know if it would be fair if I were pissed.
Yeah. And that's, I guess, the risk that you take by not being honest about what you want as a woman, like in your relationship. So it's hard. And he made a comment too in his confessional that really shows you his state of mind, which he's like, if you're seeing someone, you're either going to marry them and live with them forever, or there's going to be a really sad day that happens. And both of those terrify me. Yeah. So he is very commitment phobic.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. And I think he wants to have fun. I think he also enjoys being comfortable and cozy and coupley with somebody like he is with Sierra, but he does want to have fun.
I think on top of that, he truly does like Sierra.
I do too. I really do.
And I think he's probably not used to that, like used to really liking a girl. I did love like the side-by-side flashes over to Sierra, and she's just like wrapped up in a little cocoon, just having a little snooze.
Like the cutest, unbothered. Most beautiful. Oh.
Butterfly, yeah.
I have such a girl crush on her. And her little accent. I'm just like, oh my God, I'm obsessed with you.
And then we get to the chat with Amanda and Kyle. Yeah. And this was rough.
Yeah.
This was real rough. I can see why her words are hurting Kyle.
Yes.
But Amanda deserves to be selfish here after everything that she's done to support this man.
This little man baby. Mm-hmm. The way he became instantly defensive and childish when she's trying to open up to him, it's just so controlling. And he knows how to trigger her, and he does it. And she takes the bait every fucking time. And that's where these two are. They're just so used to fighting, in my opinion.
The one thing I will say about Amanda is she seems to have learned when to walk away.
Uh-huh. Yes, which is huge.
Yeah. She engages a little bit. He's just not hearing her at all. All he's hearing is her saying, I quit, basically. He's not listening to her actually say, like, I need something for myself now. And maybe it's the stress and anxiety of his business no longer turning a profit. Sure, that's valid. Mm-hmm. But Amanda deserves to live for herself and chase her own dreams, too.
Defo.
He's being very selfish, I think.
Very selfish. Now, to play devil's advocate here, I will say, I think the timing is probably not great.
Yeah.
You know absolutely. What I mean? Absolutely. You know, like, you know your man's is, like, so stressed out about this. And I think Kyle is genuinely stressed out. It's that old adage, like, he's trying to be a provider, like he says, and all of these things, and he's kind of failing at it right now. So I do understand, like, that's probably not peak opportunity to be like, hey, can I have more money to start up this little thing for myself? But she still deserves it. And his reaction was still disturbingly bad.
You hear your wife come to you with an issue like this, and your initial reaction is to freak out or whatever. Like, mm-hmm. when he went up to her in the kitchen afterwards to approach her again.
Yeah.
All he should have said was, you know what? I heard you. Give me 6 months. Get me through the winter. And then we will shift focus. I'll be able to help you at that point. Like, because he expressed specifically he's worried about profiting, getting profits through the winter or whatever. Like, put a timeline on it. Don't just shut her down.
That is such a good solution. Such a good solution, Nar. Yeah, he fucked it up again.
Instead, he got real butt hurt and does one of his infamous walkaways.
With that mullet, I can't take him seriously.
I know.
And Sierra's shorts.
Storms out of the house and he's like, what did he throw? Like a shoe or a bottle or something?
I thought it was a bottle or a can or something. Okay. I don't know.
Props to Danielle, too, in that moment. She attempted to talk to him from Amanda's perspective. I think she got out like, well, you know, like from her, and he was just like not having it and like fucking storms away. And he said some real shitty stuff here. He was like, employee, like I would fucking fire her if she was my employee. I'm sick of babysitting her.
Then fucking break up with her, Kyle. Just like Carl, okay?
How's this man also going to try and have it both ways? In one breath, she's the laziest partner who never does enough work. She's not working hard enough in her position at Loverboy, and she should be fired. And then in the next breath, she is integral to the business, and she can't leave and do her own thing because the Loverboy is just going to crumble without her.
Yeah.
I see a person doing this, like, no matter what Amanda does in this situation, it's wrong.
It's wrong. Yeah.
And to me, that just seems like a control aspect at that point. It's all about Kyle having control over Amanda. And I don't like that.
Agreed. The whole parental kind of place where he comes from when dealing with her is really icky. And especially because he is the most immature person on the show, but not when it comes to his business, of course. So it's all about the money. And I get that.
There is something to be said for the fact that Amanda's father sat Kyle down before they got married and said to him, Amanda is your responsibility now. I've done all of her financials. I've done everything. Now you have to do that.
Oh.
Amanda comes from money. She has a trust fund. Her parents are wealthy.
Right.
Kyle is a provider for her in a sense, but I do, how do I put this? I don't think he's lying, essentially, when he says things like, I have to be the one who takes care of everything at home mm-hmm. and in business. I do think that's the role that he plays, mm-hmm. but that's who you married.
That's who you married. And I understand getting resentful from time to time. I do. I think that's normal. Yeah. It can't be this explosive, though, okay? No. This is where the therapy needs to happen more frequently. But she also has kind of given up on the therapy as well, according to her a few episodes ago. So I don't know. They're just so wrong for each other.
And then at the end, he's like, well, you know what I want to do? I want to be a DJ.
Okay. The guy is TV goals, in my opinion. Like
Sarah.
What?
Sarah. I don't even know how.
Is he a DJ?
Yes. Yep. No.
No. He's a DJ now?
He went on after this to take DJ lessons. He approached Amanda about it. And Amanda was like, you know what, babe? You should be a DJ. Follow your passion. And so he took out a whole bunch of money, bought a whole bunch of DJ equipment, and this man started taking DJ lessons.
From Paris Hilton or what?
He goes every Sunday to take a DJ lesson. He's practicing DJing, and Amanda's being so supportive, and she has put her passion on the back burner so that Kyle can have another passion project. Sarah, I am not joking. That's
okay.
Yep. That's why I asked you this morning. I was like, did you watch the after show?
Oh.
I have lost my goddamn mind. Yep.
Okay. I hope that she's just like, yeah, go for it. Because she's plotting her escape. Because there's a lot of tension between her and Jesse Solomon. Oh. Have you seen this? Sexual tension.
There was a question asked, like, if you could be with any of the women, like, who would it be? And he answered Amanda. But he also, like, very much is into Paige.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, who doesn't he have sexual tension with?
Well, that's true.
Danielle.
But she, oh, fuck, yeah. He was like, no. But she does with him, too, I think. Like, very flirty, cutie.
Yeah.
I like it. So maybe this is her path forward. She's going to forge ahead with Jesse Solomon.
I would not hate that.
Nope. Nor would I.
Kyle would.
Oh, yeah. He would.
But he'd be too busy DJing, you know, at a festival or something. So it'd be fine. Maybe he wouldn't even. I know.
He thinks he's going to be DJ James Kennedy at Coachella next year.
I thought it was just a joke. Like, I thought he was making a, you know.
It is a joke.
A metaphor or whatever. You're right. It is a joke.
Loser.
And Amanda did say, she was like, if he starts doing festivals, I'm out. But and she was like, it's so adorable. Like, it's so cute. Like, I'm so happy for him.
Oh.
I don't know why I gave her a Southern accent, but yeah.
Brittany.
No, she was so supportive.
Okay.
And well, yeah. Yep.
I mean, that's why he keeps her around, isn't it? Sorry to say.
Abso-fucking-lutely.
Oh, bastard.
That summer house, folks.
Okay. I'm getting all riled up.
I know. Make sure to head on over after this and check out our Real Housewife of New Jersey recap if you guys are watching the show, because we're going to release that one shortly after this one.
And I have a quick apology to make next episode.
Yeah.
Something naughty I did. I'm a naughty, naughty girl.
I also was part of it, so we'll get into that. But yeah, I hope everybody is having a great week. And until next time. Stay truthful.
But not hopeless.
Make sure you hit that subscribe button too, guys, and leave us a rating or a written review if you feel so inclined.
We love you for it.
Bye.